Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Welcome. This is Beautiful from the Inside Out. You're being hosted with Amanda Staccato and Frida Corcoran. And we're going to be talking today about the holiday blues. This should be joining shortly. And today we're going to be focusing, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Frida should be on shortly. I'm a certified life coach. I specialize in working with women to help them discover their voices and bring out the best version of themselves, deal with insecurities, and really finding your voice and finding your life purpose. Frida also is a certified coach, and she has a very similar niche as well with a project called Friending Your Fathers. Today's topic we thought was very relevant because basically it's going to deal with talking about the holidays and all of the different struggles that happen during the holidays. What I'm going to do is open up the lines while I'm waiting for my co-host to come on. If you have any questions or you'd like to join or give us a call, the number is 646-345-4945. And again, we're going to be talking today about holiday blues, stress and madness, and just dealing with all the different chaos, stress, and things that can happen during the holiday season. There's a variety of things that people experience, ranging from depression, overwhelm, anxiety. The holidays is one of the hardest times of the year. So what we decided to do is make a special show and just really help people with some tips and suggestions on how to deal with the holidays.
Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Frida. I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi.
I let everyone know we had some technical difficulties today. Frida and I usually do side by side, and we're doing it remotely this time, and we had a couple of little glitches, but we are here now.
It's a little learning curve, so I'm very glad to be on with you. So this is all about coping, right? So this is our first step in coping on the show.
Yeah, so I gave them a little background on us, but why don't you just go ahead and share a little information about yourself and about what you do.
Sure. So my name, again, is Frida Corcoran, and I, like Amanda, am a certified transformational life coach. I'm all about the Reawaken Beautiful movement, which is focused on empowering women to reawaken their individual uniqueness for living a results and purpose-driven life. And what's been great about this show, Beautiful from the Inside Out, is that it's really an extension of both Amanda and my mission of really talking freely about topics that women, men have all been through, and just by really focusing and gaining more awareness on, you know, our individual challenges, we start to gain mastery. And that's what I love saying. You know, it's like we gain mastery over the things that we feel are our biggest challenges and overwhelming for us. So I think that today's theme or topic about depression and the winter blues is just another opportunity for us to share, you know, ways that we've all had these struggles and ways that we can all overcome and cope with these struggles and be more successful. So, Amanda,
yeah,
I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you, you know, what really drew you to this this topic?
You know, the holidays has been particularly a hard time for me most of my life. And growing up since I was a kid, and we talked about it, of course, you know my history, but I've shared it with the listeners as well. I have a long history dealing with a very challenging childhood. My mom was diagnosed as bipolar when I was 5, and my dad had a very angry temper. And, you know, my family was very divided. People didn't support the fact that my mother had a mental illness. I was really alienated from my family most of my life. And I became her caretaker at a very young age. At about 13, I started to become involved, and by 16, I was fully responsible. And there was just nothing about the holidays that I liked. I mean, I can go back as far as like being 5 years old to, you know, 10 years old in the younger years. And I just remember my dad being so angry and like, you know, I'm supposed to be having fun opening gifts. And he was like just throwing fits and yelling and cursing and just so angry. And, you know, he had this one chair. And like, I always wanted to sit in the chair. And if I sat in the chair, I would get in trouble. And, like, these are the things that I think about like on Christmas. Like, not, you know, and I always wanted to have like my own really, you know, amazing Christmas. And my greatest holidays have been, you know, with my best friend's family. I do have some times where when we used to go to my grandmother's house on my mom's side of the family when she was still alive. And I think it was just not necessarily that I was close with everyone, but I just liked having the big family around me. And but I didn't understand that, like, I really wasn't connected to anyone in a way that I really desired. And with my best friend's family, that was when I was introduced to like real, true, unconditional love, and shaped how I saw the holidays. And I still struggle with it now because I'm still technically my mom's caretaker, and I'm the one who has to take her everywhere, and she just does not make holidays easy. She makes me dread them. And through the last couple of years, I have tried to re-identify what I want from a holiday, what's important to me for a holiday, and what makes me feel good about holidays, as opposed to what I've thought was kind of dealt to me. So I know there's so many people out there that might not have those same tools to be able to reframe it and recreate it and make it their own. So, you know, I feel like there's a lot of information that you and I can share.
Is there anything in particular that stands out for you in terms of, you know, how your body or your mind starts to, does it go into a certain state of kind of shock or sadness when you start thinking about the holidays? Is it something that's present for you, or is it unconscious for you?
Yeah. This year, I have to say, is very, very different. But in the past, it's like the second the holidays come up and I see my phone ringing and it was my mom, I would just cringe because the thing calls and emails and what are we going to do? And he has this anxiousness about the holidays that rolls over onto me, would start months in advance. And she would go into this massive, massive detailed planning of what we're going to do. Meanwhile, we do the same thing every year. And all of a sudden the day comes and then canceled. Last year, she canceled Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I spent it alone in my car. And I said, I can't do this again.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, so I set the boundaries. And this year, it's like I'm putting my foot down and I'm creating what I want for a holiday. But in the past, like, it's been the overwhelm and the stress. And I would just dread the whole holiday season. The second I heard a Christmas song, I was like, here we go. I just knew, like, what I had coming for me. And in my heart, deep in my heart, I love the holidays. But I didn't love what the holidays were for me. I loved everybody else's holiday.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that I always enjoyed visiting with my best friend and her family is because it was like, come as you are, have fun. Everybody's laughing and dancing and music and drinking and food and just like there. And no matter what, like, they could have had any kind of situation happen over the course of the year, But no matter what, on the holiday, they're all there. And it just taught me a lot seeing that through the years, you know? And that's really what I wanted to do myself.
And I think that's what's great about this conversation and this topic, because no matter how, you know, cool-headed we think we are, how organized or structured or how we've got it all together, right? The holidays and this time of year, it can be a very tricky time for people. You know, we are dealing with a lot of people. We're dealing with our families. We're dealing with emotions. We're dealing with energy. And so when you're dealing with this enormous amount of, like, energy from different people, you know, it becomes a very stressful situation. So coming from where you're coming from, where you have this sense of awareness, it's I think it's really important for people to start talking about it, because taking this action step is all about self-care. And self-care is the main, you know, the main point that we want people to take away from this this talk show, this radio show. It's that, you know, even if this is the first time that people are acknowledging, you know, stress, or, you know, we call it the winter blues, or, you know, seasonal affective depression, sad, right, in your own life, when you start talking about it, you're moving forward and you're getting better or gaining more awareness and control over the things that you need to cope with and be successful in. And so your example is perfect, because you're learning to deal with it and head out with the situation in a way that you're empowered, because you know, well, this is how I feel. I'm not going to take it. This is how I need to function to stay sane, to stay healthy, and to care for myself. So I think that's, you know, one of the most amazing things that people can do is really talk about it first and foremost. Like, really acknowledge it. And I think that's why I asked you, you know, why, or do you start to feel it? You know, do you start to physically and consciously feel it? Because in my own experience, and Amanda and I have talked about this for quite some time, Amanda knows that I tend to shut down around the winter time. So I do myself experience SAD, or seasonal affective disorder, around the winter time. And people do experience this also in the spring and the summer. But in my case, you know, I tend to have, you know, a sense of being more tired. I'm very hypersensitive to other people's feedback. I get very, almost like I drag myself around, you know, it's like I become very, almost like so grounded that I have no flexibility, you know, I oversleep. So these are the signs that I'm starting to get into that frame of mind. And I've been talking to other people, and they've corroborated that that happens to them as well. So that's like the first step in just taking control of your life and being more successful in coping and dealing with it, is being able to name what's going on with you.
Why do you think it is for you in particular that it's the winter? Is there anything that you can associate it with as far as a timeline or?
That's a good question. I think because, and, you know, we'll talk about this in later shows, you know, the introversion versus extroversion, but I tend to be introverted. So I naturally reserve my energy, and I'm more closed, and I regenerate internally by myself without others. But I tend to be very outgoing introvert. So I need my people, and I need my love, you know. But then I tend to then retreat when I feel overwhelmed by energy. So it could be that during the summer months, during the winter months, I don't get as much light. I'm very fortunate. I have a window in my office. So even though I don't tend to look out of the window a lot, I need that that sunlight. I need those rays in the morning and in the afternoon. And it's like I'm a flower. It's like a pick-me-up. But, you know, as soon as it's darker in the wintertime, it's like I just want to come home. I want to almost hibernate. And so that could be a part of it, too, just the way I handle energy generally. That tends to happen to me.
I know that with the time change, like this morning, I got up at around 5, and I said, oh, let me just go and pull up the blinds, and I'm going to, like, catch the sunrise, and, you know, maybe I get to see the ocean, because the ocean's across the street from me, and it's like my normal morning routine, and I rolled out of bed, and I pulled up the blinds, and I'm like, oh. It's just so dark.
It was
shocking to me. Yeah, it was just shocking to me, because I'm normally up by like 6:30, but I happen to get up at 5 today, and I'm like, "What? Where's the sun? What's going on?" Like, it just was so miserable. So,
Do you feel that? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, like, I think a lot of times now, like, people that are commuting that have to leave, you know, to get to work for 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and they're getting up at that time, you know, at 5. It has to shift, you know, your morning, that you're waking up and it's still dark out. I would just think that, especially if people are sensitive at this time of year, it has to throw you off a little.
I would think so. And then the fact that you spend most of your day in an office, and then when you leave, it's dark.
Yeah. This is the first year, I think, that I've been a little bit more, and for other reasons too, but I think this year has been very different for me for the winter, because I'm not in that that secluded office place where I was the previous year. And so I have a little bit more of, you know, the ability to get outside or see the sun and have that little, you know, that little extra oomph that you need in the season.
And it's true. I mean, one of the things that heads off feeling down and low is exercise, most important.
Mm.
Being able to get up, stretch, take a walk, get those serotonin levels up, those, you know, that brain chemical, which affects your mood, into play, you know, really helps to reduce those feelings of feeling down and depressed, and it also makes you feel good, you look good. That all comes into play with that. So I think you're very fortunate where you live.
Yeah, I can, without stepping outside, I try to pretend it's still the summertime.
Well, you're a summer baby.
I am. I'm an absolute summer baby. When I take one step outside, though, it's a very quick reminder. Very quick.
I'm sorry. We're so used to looking at each other that it's hard to get those cues, you know, like, because we're so used to, just talking and looking at each other's face and knowing when the next person is going to interject. So I'm sorry, Amanda, what were you going to say?
We should do a Skype the next time and just mute our computers so we can see each other's faces.
Yeah, just look at each other. We could do sign language.
So what are some ways that, with the awareness that you have, that you can deal with this and this time of year?
Sure. So I wanted to share some kind of like trivia on the percentage of people that are affected at this time. It was interesting because I was trying to get a concrete number, and it said that between 6 and 14%, which is pretty, like a big number, experience or are susceptible to SAD, seasonal affective disorder, or something called winter blues. So usually, Americans in northern climates really experience this. So I think that really large gap from 6 to 14% is almost like the varying degrees of severity that people experience this SAD disorder. And usually, and I'm just going to share some quick risk factors, being female, more women than men are diagnosed with SAD. Younger people actually experience SAD more than older people. If you have a family history of SAD, and if you want to kind of share, what your thoughts are on that, Amanda, if you feel like, I know we've had this conversation where it's maybe a learned behavior versus a genetic component to it. Mm-hmm. People, suffer from clinical depression or bipolar disorder are more prone to getting SAD or suffering from SAD, and people that live mm-hmm. farther away from the equator are susceptible. And you had asked me kind of what are some things that I do. For me, I think I have a really good support system, you being one of them. Amanda, we kind of were joking about it before. It's like we don't know if Amanda is, kind of like a shy extrovert or I'm like an outgoing introvert. But Amanda is very good at understanding when I shut down. So when I shut down, I kind of go zero dark 30 on people. It's like I go away, I go into hiding, I go hiding in a cave. And everyone knows that it's just something I do. And they know, well, if she's going to resurface, so they'll send me a little text or they'll say, Frida, can I call you or do you want to speak at a certain time? So, having that really strong support system of people understanding what you're about and that it's, they don't take it personal is very important. And vice versa, if you're an extrovert and you need your little love, you need your little love time, then it's important for people to know, well, let me give someone a call. And I think we talked about this earlier. It's like that's another way that we can share our support. Is through our service to other people, right, during this time. So Amanda, I mean, going back to the question of SAD in family members, do you feel that that's something that you've seen in your own case?
It's funny because growing up with my mom being sick, she does have a certain time of year that she does get sick. It's not in the winter, but it's usually in the late spring, early summer. Late spring to early summer is when it starts, and then usually through the summer. So, like, I can remember when I was a child, it was usually right around the time of, like, where you're graduating and, like, you're supposed to have, like, school parties and things like that, or in the summer where you want to go see all your friends and do things. I was always, like, shipped off somewhere. So be it my grandmother's house or, sleepaway camp. And most people said, oh, that's great, you went to sleepaway camp. I'm like, well, not under those circumstances, because I knew that when I was a kid that my mom was in the hospital at that time. So she did have the seasonal, and I don't know, hers was triggered by a car accident that we had when I was five. And, I should know this, but I don't know if it's the same month of the car accident as to when she gets sick.
Yeah.
It is everything at the same time.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of people say that you have to be careful and that it could be hereditary and things like that. But I don't feel that it, for me anyway, and I'm not saying that this is across the board, I don't feel that it's hereditary specifically. I think that it's a trait that you take on in the personality that you have to really be aware of. Because I can see that when I was younger, I didn't know how to cope and deal with things. Like, my anxiety was off the hook when I was younger. And it was because my mom worried about everything. She was always, like, kind of, you know, just putting all these ideas in my head that all these things were going to happen to me, which, of course, never did. So I just tended to worry a lot when I was, you know, younger. And then just in my own experience and personal growth and development and things like that, I've really grounded myself and been able to handle different things. So for me personally, I don't see it as being genetic, but because I've seen myself change through the years. And it wasn't necessarily a direct replicate of her behavior, but it was a circumstance of her behavior.
Right.
I don't see in the, you know, she has 9 brothers and sisters, and I don't see it as something that's common across the board or her particular situation. I don't know if she would have gotten sick one day if we didn't have that car accident, but I know hers was triggered from the car accident.
I think that's what's so amazing is that, you know, once we really start to pay attention to the patterns in our lives, we start to see, you know, what's a behavioral, what's behavioral versus genetic. And we've had this conversation before, and I totally agree with you. I know that for myself, I was raised with an introverted parent, and then we were very sheltered. And it was basically me and her surviving on our own. So a lot of the behaviors, you know, that I have, sure, I could label it as introversion, but a lot of it is just, you know, survival instincts. And, you know, the more work that we do of self-exploration, the more we get to see, you know, what is it that we're, you know, what's the story that we're creating in our lives, right? And so, you know, what are some of the causes? You had asked me before, and I'm sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent somewhere else, but you had asked me about, you know, what are some of the causes for me, you know, in my own life when this depression is triggered. And I know for me, last year, and we kind of joke about it now, but last year was really a bad year for me, the whole year. It had started the year before, like at the end of the year. So it did start in the winter months. And I know that the year prior to last, I was just like on a roll. I was on a tirade. I was just really energetic, really excited, really goal oriented, really just like rah rah rah. And I think that last year I just crashed, and I didn't understand why. Like the whole year I was like basically a potato. And I've just started getting out of it. And I really am starting to piece the puzzle together. And for me, I feel that because I was overexerting myself energy-wise, and it's something that's not natural to my nature. You know, I'm more, you know, like I said, my energy is more contained. I focus on a few people at a time. I retreat when I need to recharge. And the year before, I was just doing things that were contrary to my nature. And while I think that's very important for people to do, to stretch as people, you know, to live outside of the box, it's very important to be aware of how you need to care for yourself. And some of the coping mechanisms that we'll talk about later, you know, one of them is all about being able to say no. You know, if you're overextending yourself, if you're doing something that you're overbooking yourself, for example, and great example during the holidays, we want to make sure that we make everyone happy. So we make sure that we're going to see, let's say, mom, we're going to see dad, we're going to see aunt and uncle, we're going to see, you know, our nephew, our nieces, and we say yes to everything, and then we end up either disappointing other people because we broke our word, or we just become exhausted. And you end up then reverting to just being really being rude and shutting people out. So I think that's one of the things that I've just started to become aware of, is just really being careful and managing my time, managing the things that I will say yes to versus what I'll say no to, and really expressing that. Like, I still have issues with that, but try to communicate your needs to other people. If you need love and you need attention and you need focus and you need someone to give you that, you know, rah rah rah, please, you know, express that. But then at the same time, if you're a person that needs your alone time, instead of, you know, shutting people out, just say, you know, listen, it's that time, and I need to say no to this, but let's do something else in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's been important for me.
No, I think that's a great point.
So, I mean, you know, you've been really generous sharing stories from your personal life. So I really respect that. How are some, you had mentioned it before, but please, you know, share with us again, you know, some of the ways that you cope and, you know, not necessarily just this time of the year, but I mean, this is very important, but you know, what are some ways that people can, you know, cope during this time and times that are particularly rough or, you know, hard for them to manage?
You know, I remember when I went to UPW for Unleash the Power, Tony Robbins, and he said something to me that I'll always remember. And if you want to be upset, you can guarantee how to make yourself upset. If you want to put yourself in a funk and you want to get yourself to cry, you could throw on Lifetime. You could put on all those songs. You can go look at old photos. And you can keep yourself in a very safe, guaranteed place and where you can value the human need of certainty. And if certainty is one of your highest needs that you desire for stability, then absolutely you don't want to take a risk and put yourself out there and risk being rejected or risk being disappointed or risk being unhappy. So you know what? Stay with the good old comfortable sad. You can guarantee sad.
Mm.
And explaining it, I'm like, it's so true. Because I would think to myself, like, times that I've had that were hard, what would I do? I'd throw on Lifetime. Or I would have this whole series of, like, things that I knew would just get me further and further and further and further down. And I would... And it was exactly what he said. You can guarantee what the result is if you do A, B, and C. So knowing that, don't do A, B, and C.
Exactly, right.
You got it. Oh, okay, so I didn't do A, B, and C. That's not a good idea. Great. So, and it was so obvious that it was funny to me because, you know, it's kind of like you know, if you remember back in the 80s, and you're in a relationship and you break up and you have that breakup tape that you played.
Right, your mixtape. Your mixtape.
So it's kind of like that. Like, you know you're going to cry when you hear the love song because, like, the love of your life dumped you. So you're going to sit in the corner and you listen to your tape player in the 80s. You know, it's just what we did when we were in high school. But, I mean, it's just funny, though. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, if you notice what you're doing. Like, when you're down, notice what you're doing. Is this what you do every single time? Well, guess what? Stop doing it. So you have to break the pattern and get up and do something else. Do something different. Do something you never did before, maybe, and just have that awareness. So I think the awareness to that and recognizing what your triggers are and what it is that keeps you there is really important. I think also...
Yes. I was saying yes, Amanda. Continue.
I think also to be able to recreate your story. So, you know, fine, your life wasn't a bed of roses when you started out. Neither was mine. Awesome. So you know what? It doesn't mean that tomorrow has to be the same thing it was yesterday. And that's the greatest thing, is that you can turn your life into whatever you want. You don't have to do what you did last year. You don't have to do what you did the year before. You can recreate it and make it your own to whatever you want it to be. I remember when I was a kid, one of the things I loved more than anything was this little Italian couple lived down the road from me. And they were just the sweetest couple. I adored them. They were like straight from Italy. They did the big old-fashioned Italian dinners. The whole family comes over. It's a big feast. And it wasn't so much about the food, but it was about the gathering. It was every Sunday. And as long as I can remember, I said, when I get married, I want Sunday to be family day. This has nothing to do with the tradition of my family. But you know what? I liked it. I borrowed it. I'm going to make it mine. And, like, it doesn't have to be, like, however your family was or however you were raised or whatever your circumstances are, change them. It's not, you know, it's not that it's written in stone that you have to do the same thing forever. You see something you like, do it. And I know that, like, when I'm settled down and I have my family, like, that's what I want to do. I want Sunday to be family day. And, or maybe for whatever reason, circumstances don't work and Saturday ends up family day, whatever it is. But to have that one day a week that everyone gets together no matter what and you spend that time together. And it's something that I don't see a lot as much here unless, like, the family happens to be more traditional. So I thought that that was really great seeing that. And it was something, it was a lesson that I always remembered. So with the holidays, recreate what you want your holiday to look like. And
I think that's a great point because it's almost like you thinking about your childhood, and in whatever situation that any one of our listeners is in right now, think of your whatever issue that you're going through right now. Think of a goal. And I'm just using your example. It's like you had a goal that you set for yourself, and that almost like empowered you to stay positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was no way that all the years that I had of dealing with the chaos that I was going to be my future. That was not something that you would look forward to. And it's definitely not something that I willed into my life. You know, things happen to us that we don't necessarily plan for or want to happen. But it's something that we just need to see what our options are and be creative and look outside the box. Sometimes, like, when you're down and out, you get tunnel vision and you only see what's directly in front of you that's being, like, flashing lights because it's so bright, but like you don't see that, like, behind the flashing lights or to the left of it, there's like a beautiful meadow and there's, you know, a river and there's all these different things you could be doing, but because the light in front of you is flashing so bright, you're not taking the time to look at it from the side and look around it. And you just have to get creative and really identify what you want and align it with your personal values and what's important to you.
That is so cool. Because just hearing that is, like, very motivating.
Yeah. I think, you know, you were saying, it applies to all different things. Like, if I look at my own life and, you know, I finished high school and went directly into work straight from high school. I didn't go to college. And I technically, according to statistics and society and so forth, I wasn't supposed to be okay. Like, I was supposed to have kinds of problems, and I wasn't supposed to be settled, and I wasn't supposed to be successful, and all these different things. And you get a label according to society, where in reality, I was just like, no, I just don't want to go. It's not for me. I like my courses. I'm doing the coaching certifications. I want to learn about things that interest me, but college just was not for me. And it has not impacted me whatsoever in my life because I chose what I wanted my life to be. So I think that in any circumstance, not just the holidays, not just the career, but anything, it doesn't matter what your past was, you can recreate for your future.
No, I agree. And I think that, and I know for myself that I tend to, and we're very similar in that we're very positive people, and I think that's key. And if you're not a person that's necessarily the most positive, this is something that you can always practice. Everything is practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the easiest ways to kind of find an entryway into really seeing your life differently, and we've discussed this before, it's like, you know, that attitude of gratitude, and we talk about it all the time. You know, it's like, and for me personally, you know, every chance I get, I'm thankful. You know, when I open my door to my apartment, when I come home, I'm thankful. I'm like, I can put a roof over my head. I have a job. I can take care of myself. And, you know, when I, you know, I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for being able to do something like this and, you know, share with other people. So if that's something that's not natural to your nature, you can always do little things for yourself. To, you know, when you pay your bills, I know a lot of people say, what, paying bills? You know, that's positive. But when you change your attitude, though, I mean, I remember when I was a kid and I had my first job, it was something that gave me so much pleasure to pay my bills because I did that myself. And so when you change your attitude and you become a person that's like, I do for myself, you know, maybe I'm all alone here, but I do it for myself, and I take care of myself, and I'm able to be in a position where I can do this for myself. So even, you know, taking situations where another person might kind of groan at it, you know, take an opportunity to say, wow, you know, look at where I am. Like you said, look, you know, I could have been a statistic, and myself as well. You know, I'm from the Bronx. You know, I knew girls that got pregnant and dropped out of school. And for me, it was like a matter of pride to be different, to challenge, you know, what was expected of me. So, you know, and it's never too late. I tell people it's never too late. Whatever you feel is kind of like blocking you into the corner, just like Amanda had said, you change your attitude, you change the way you think about it. You make it unique for yourself. You hold on to goals or things that you see visually that stimulate you, that make you happy, that are something aspirational. And for me, it's funny because Amanda has a different view of the Lifetime movies. I love it. I love the Lifetime and the Hallmark because for me, it's unreal. It's something that can never be attained. And for me, there's something about it that's fascinating because I know, you see, I feel like the opposite. Like, it's something that I could aspire to because it will never happen. And that's like a different take, but I enjoy it so much. Like, I love the crying and the family and the everyone cooking for each other because somehow I know that for me, that was something maybe I didn't think could ever be real. But, I mean, that's what's so cool about every single person. We all come with a different set of skill sets and different perspectives and different ways that we can apply how we think and how we feel to change things for ourselves. And I think what you were saying was so positive is that no matter what situation you're in, whether it be the holidays or whether it be, you know, the new year, and I'm really excited about the new year and our episodes for the next year. But, you know, just start using this time to, we're reiterating, you know, awareness. You know, it's the time to start getting into how you feel about things. And, you know, just don't level set your expectations. Don't think that things are supposed to be perfect. You know, just take little baby steps, and that's how you kind of head off your problems or what you think are problems or challenges.
Absolutely.
And I love your idea about, you know, the family traditions, making up new family traditions.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And also, too, sometimes you want to keep some of those traditions alive. And we were talking about that earlier as well. So I know that that this time of year can be really hard for people. And when you're experiencing loss of a loved one, and it can really make the holidays challenging, especially if it's someone who kind of was a leader in the household and someone who was really the main support. And I've seen friends struggle with that. And recently I was having a conversation with my boyfriend about that. And I think he had lost his mom a couple of years ago, and it's been really hard for him. And it was, she actually had passed away right around Christmas time. And it was really hard because he wasn't able to celebrate the holidays because he, instead of associating the holidays with the actual holiday, he would associate it with his mom passing away. And I said, well, maybe there's something we can do. Like, what was your mom's favorite thing to cook? Or what did she like to do around the holiday? Like, let's keep, instead of recreating, let's just keep her spirit alive. Like, what could we do? What did she like doing around the holidays? And we can, you know, still remember her and kind of celebrate her instead of mourning her. So then you can feel connected and enjoy it. And I kind of believe that when you do something like that, like, they're looking over you and they're kind of like smiling, saying, oh, you know, like, they're just kind of like, wow, I made that impact on them, or, you know, and it kind of is like a, you're putting the energy out and getting it back. Like, I feel like it would feel really good to do something like that. And after we had this conversation, it was sweet because I had gone to visit him over the weekend, and it was the first time he put his tree up. So I know that was kind of like a first step.
Oh, my goodness. What a, like, major impact.
Yeah. And so it made me feel good because I think that, you know, it helps to know that there's support as well. So in the same situation, like, you know, if you know someone who maybe is having a hard time around the holidays, to be supportive and just be that ear and kind of just hear them and, like, what they need and to be there with them.
And it's what we were talking about before. It's all about service. So, you know, it's another way of not focusing necessarily on what's troubling you. You know, in a sense, you get rewarded emotionally and mentally and spiritually through how you reach out to others. So whether it be like you did, which was wonderful, it's like you hearing his story, hearing his side of how he was feeling, and then
like you said, reframing how he could still honor the memory of his mother, and cherish her and honor her, and reconnect to what used to make him happy, which was, you know, the holidays and Christmas. But, you know, it's mm-hmm. also, you know, so that's a form of service. And then also, you know, something that you recently did, which is volunteer. So, mm-hmm. you know, and that's another thing that we both do is, like, we always know that we're very fortunate and lucky in our current situations. And, you know, how can we support people that are not as fortunate? So, you know, volunteering, and you can go to do a, you know, help people that, you know, in a soup kitchen. I've done that before during the holidays. Or it could be something as little as, like, being kind to someone in the street or that you know, like, that you just kind of pass and you smile and maybe you ask how they're doing. So little small things like that where you're just kind of offering yourself and being generous or picking up the phone and calling and making sure that that person is okay and maybe they're being taken care of during the holidays. So those are all things that, you know, we can all do to show that we kind of we're part of the human race, right?
I think that, you know, like you were mentioning, the volunteer aspect for me is particularly fulfilling, especially it's something I started doing years ago around the holidays because I didn't know how to feel fulfilled or where I belong during the holiday. But I knew for sure that if I volunteered, whatever it was that I did, that somebody was going to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, it was so rewarding for me just because of where I was at in my life, and that's how volunteering came into my life. But, you know, even this year, I had worked with the Anthony Robbins Foundation for the Basket Brigade, and, you know, there's a lot of work. You don't realize behind the scene. It was my first year coordinating. You don't know how much work goes into organizing this. But in the very end, all I kept thinking about was there's days I was like, how am I going to get through this? Because it was so much work. But I knew in the end that I was going to see the faces of the people that we were delivering to. And that's mm-hmm. That's what kept me strong. And knowing that end goal. And when we did the deliveries, my boyfriend and I had gone together and everything went wrong. We went and we met this wonderful couple who they have a farm here in Rockaway. And it was really interesting. They raise local tilapia to feed the community for free.
Wow.
And the man was brilliant that I met. I mean, absolutely brilliant. I couldn't stop talking to him. We were waiting for the other delivery truck to come. So I initially was just talking to get to know them, past time and so forth. I didn't even want to leave when the conversation was over. He was so interesting. But they have a farm, and it's all raised with they have the, you know, plants and vegetables and things like that, all natural, no GMOs. His father taught him all these things about farming, and his dad was brilliant. And he told me the story of his father, who he was from the Carolinas, and back in the days, he was actually a slave, and he picked cotton. And he only had a second grade education.
Wow.
Everything that he knew, he was self-taught. His father spoke something like 7 or 8 different languages. He had all these things that could basically, like, he had studied and could save the earth and pollution and water and filtering and all these things that he's proven and scientists have looked at, but because he didn't have, like, the credentials behind it, he couldn't. Him and his father weren't able to get the word out, so they just basically left it to themselves. And the son now, the man I was talking to, he does it now for the community, and he gives back. But him and his wife are both chefs. And after having such an amazing conversation, and there was a huge mix-up with the turkeys. The other truck that was coming was delivering the turkeys. We had the food. They delivered it to the wrong location, and we're standing with the families that we just sat down and talked to who are waiting for the turkeys to come, and there's no turkeys. You know, sitting there and seeing the look on their faces and knowing that they were not going to have a turkey, for me, the only alternative, we ended up going to Stop and Shop, and I bought 10 turkeys. And I spoke to the head of our organization, and we still had money left over. So, you know, it was fine. Like, I'll get reimbursed when the time comes. But to know that we just delivered 10 meals to this family, but yet they weren't going to have a turkey. Like, that's the whole thing for Thanksgiving. That's the most expensive part, too. So, it was a little chaotic, and it didn't go as we planned, but it worked out like it was supposed to work out because they were so grateful and so happy, and it gave us more time to sit and talk to everyone. And, you know, we saw some of the families that were coming to pick stuff up, and it was nice just sitting there and we just sat outside. It was like a farm, and we just sat and talked to everyone. And it was so rewarding. Like, as stressful as the whole day was, like, my heart was, like, totally full when I left. And we ended up becoming friends with the couple, and he happens to be a professional chef. And he said, you know what, I appreciate so much what you did. I want to make you guys dinner one night. And, you know, I live right here, so it's like he's down the road from me. And I thought that was so generous. Mm-hmm. But it was because we were helping his particular community. And so he wanted to give back to us because we were giving to him, you know. And it was just nice. It was really, really fulfilling to see all of that, you know.
And it's all about connecting, you know. It's like the greater end result is that everyone is almost we're all connected. I believe that, and so the fact that, you know, you were there helping, had you not been there, like, who knows what would have happened to those families. You know, they wouldn't have had their meal, you know, minus the main point, the main part.
Right.
And so that you were there, and that you were there then in turn helping this gentleman and his business and his agenda and his goal to help others. It's like that's what people don't get, that we're all connected. And by one action, just like touching the heart of one person or 10 families or whatever, the whole point is, you know, being self-aware and taking care of yourself so that you can make impact on your neighbor, your friend, your, you know, a business colleague. So it's like the main goal that we want to share with people is, like, you know, take care of yourself and really pay attention to what's going on in your life, because the stronger that you make yourself, the stronger you could be for other people and for this, like, human community that we belong to.
Absolutely. So I know that we're wrapping up now. And we wanted to give a couple of final tips just in dealing with the holidays specifically, in, you know, how to make it through, and have some resources and suggestions that we have. First and foremost, something that we haven't mentioned is how prevalent suicide is during the holiday season. And I think it's really important to have the awareness of, you know, not just yourself, but others around you. And be aware of someone that's struggling during this time of year, or someone that you notice, you know, maybe they're not fully, you know, participating or present at the same level that they normally are. Are they withdrawn?
No.
You know, have they hinted or said anything that kind of left you wondering? There's, you know, and even if it's for yourself, if you have any doubts or thoughts that you're going through, I think it's really important to know that there's help out there, and that there's support for free, and there it's 24/7, and there's suicide prevention lines out there that'll talk you through and stay with you and just be that ear that you might need, or that someone you know might need. So I had saved this number just to share with the listeners in case they didn't know that there is a number out there for that. And if anyone believes they may need it, it's 1-800-273-8255. And again, that's something that's 24 hours a day. And I think it's really important just to acknowledge and be aware of how troublesome the holiday season can be for people. Is there anything else that that you want to leave with the readers before we part?
Well, I think we've touched on everything. We want to just make sure that, again, if you need help or if there's someone that you think needs help and maybe don't know how to broach the subject, this suicide and crisis prevention hotline is a great resource. So, again, care for yourself first and then try to reach out. It's like the tree is stronger when it's grounded and it shares. I'm getting very philosophical here. But, you know, the stronger you are, the more that you can share with other people. So if you mm-hmm. need that help, if you need to talk to someone, seek therapy, seek someone to speak to, reach out to the Suicide and Crisis Prevention Hotline. If you know that around this time or other times that you start to feel a little out of sorts, remember, you can start being more aware and plan out strategies for yourself. Plan out, you know, things for yourself that will help you stay ahead of the game. So, you know, learn mm-hmm. to say no. Learn what things you can and cannot do, what functions you can be a part of and that you cannot be a part of. You know, this time of year we've talked about it. It's like, you know, learn to, you know, abandon habits that are just not working for you, like putting yourself in debt during the holiday season just because that's what you're supposed to do or what is expected of you. Just remember, it's all about self-care so that you can really reach out and be stronger for your community.
Absolutely. I think we've covered all of our topics. We have our next show. Well, that one I'll be solo. The next show coming up will be on the 15th. I don't have the topic as of yet, but I believe I have a guest host coming on board with me. And we haven't nailed down the topic yet, so you definitely want to keep your eye out for the topic on that one. Otherwise, Frida and I will be returning together in the new year for January.
Oh, it's really exciting. We don't have a topic yet, but it should be really all about setting goals and kickstarting 2016.
Absolutely.
I miss seeing you. I miss seeing your face.
I know. I miss your face. We're going to Skype next time.
Skype. Just to look at each other.
We're going to Skype and mute the computers just so we can smile at each other once in a while. We like to smile.
So thank you for joining us on our last show of 2015, but we're really excited about the next year, and we really hope you enjoyed this show.
Yes, I'm looking forward to next year.
All right. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. Okay, good night.
Good night.